Welcome to Explorers Woman. We are a weekly Numenera actual play podcast. I will be your sweet, kind, and gentle GM, Daniel Anderlich. With me today is Stace Babcock.
Slut Pig Thundercunt is...
Alex Finn.
Okay. I mean, that's what they called me back in the day.
And Samson Davis.
I've had a joke character name in my head for a couple of years now. Slapnut Tacklebait. Just something about the cadence of it. It sounds like a name. And their adversary that they're trying to find is Apple Cider Taint Squeeze.
Ooh.
So.
That at first sounds like a refreshing beverage, but then you're like, oh. Maybe not that last part.
Slut Pig Thundercunt had that cadence that's a name.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Now I'm not going to explain it. I'm not going to explain why I said that. I'm just going to let it ride.
No. It's a beautiful thing to just, like a fart. You fart, leave the room.
Just got to let it breathe.
Yeah. You know what doesn't have to breathe?
Me too. I hope it's Die Hard Dice's dice for TTRPG needs. They're inert and non-living, mostly.
We hope.
Yeah. Although, in a sense, they are living in the sense that they have wonderful designs that just pop off the table. I don't know. This is falling apart.
But not into your mouth, legally speaking.
Yes. These are not meant to be eaten. These are dice for your TTRPG needs. You roll them, get random numbers for whatever game you're playing, and they come in a bunch of beautiful designs.
But we don't know what weird mechanics you're playing.
I'm not judging. I'm just saying, if you need high-quality dice, go to Die Hard Dice. They got a bunch of beautiful designs in metal, acrylic. I'm looking at the rerolls right now, made from recycled material. Bunch of wonderful designs on top of that. And when you find the design perfect for whatever you're doing with them, whatever it is, use our code EXPLORERSWANTED. You're going to get 10% off your order. It's a high-quality product for a little bit cheaper, and you're helping to support the show. Done.
Hey, guys. We did it.
What did we do? Oh, no. Did you find out?
We hit the magic number. Oh.
Yes.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Magic gamer number. And we couldn't have done it without you, listeners. Thank you, honestly.
Yes. The crazy thing is that we've already blown past it by quite a bit, but at the time of recording...
Hell yeah.
Just going to stop the podcast right now.
But yeah, it's very awesome. It's a very cool milestone. We have treats in the works for you.
Did we say the number out loud?
Samson just said the gamer number, which maybe our listeners don't know.
If you don't know...
69420.
Nice.
Which means we've had 69,420 downloads of our podcast, to be clear.
Nice.
That's not just a number that we typed into Google. I'm just like, haha, we did it.
I can't believe it finally happened. I really never thought it would.
Mm-hmm. I think we first started making jokes about that in campaign one.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, absolutely.
But speaking of the past, who remembers what happened last time? I'm going to pick on Stace.
I knew I shouldn't have moved my fucking eyebrows. God damn it. I don't have a clue what happened last time. I mean, I was here. It was last week.
Holy shit, it was.
Give you a place to start.
Okay.
We were being shadowed.
Oh, okay. So we were down on tier 13, heading to Rosalita's. Is it Rosalita's or Rosita's?
I think Rosita's.
We weren't heading there immediately.
We weren't?
We went there eventually, but we started going somewhere else because we had shadows. Pain's a needle.
Well, we went to the tattoo parlor, but we were we diverted. So, yes, on the way to find lodging, the crew realized they were being followed by a ghoul, a corpo, and the horny mummy. Is that what we're calling it?
Horny murder golem. Yeah.
I'm calling him Smurfotep in my notes.
Smurfotep. I like that.
And so decided to duck into a tattoo parlor, which just thrilled Neva to his soul. So Neva was looking at art designs. There was discussion of matching tattoos, either in that episode or the episode prior. Ilsen managed to distract the people in the tattoo parlor, allowing the rest of the crew to escape out the back. And then Ilsen went out the front, changed her face, probably did some other things. Samson.
I rolled a nat 20, and I slapped Neva.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think I slapped Neva for shits and giggles.
Everybody gets a ride.
Yeah.
Ezra doesn't get to slap Neva because she already tatted Neva. So the crew manages to escape their shadows thanks to Ilsen's efforts and does get to Rosalita's, where for 30 shins for 2 weeks, they get a 2-bedroom apartment with a common area and kitchenette And hot running water.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Soft beds, clean rooms.
It was super suspicious.
Magpie couldn't get over it. But Esri took the first bath of possibly her life. Actually, the first 6 baths due to the rinsing and draining and rinsing and draining. Neva took a nap, said some very disturbing things in his sleep. And Ilsen and Esri basically were like, yo, Magpie, we know you're up to some shit. Why don't you tell us your problems? We're all in this together. And then Magpie was, you know, being Magpie, being all like cagey and stuff. And then now Ilsen and Esri. And so I can't remember if Ilsen and Esri heard the weird voices or just Magpie.
Just Magpie, but we did see at one point she started like crying while smiling.
Okay. And the reason that Magpie did that is Magpie was hearing what sounded like Duden's voices talking to a Miss Thornberry? Thornhill?
Thornbush.
Thornbush. So close. Asking about anthropology-related things, which Magpie has a surprising amount of knowledge about for a possibly corpo thief. And that's where we ended the episode.
Oh, not quite. There was a note.
Oh, Esri found a note sticking out of the bed in the room she had rented from Emery that said, meet me tomorrow. And so they're going to do that on tier 8, their meeting. And that's where we ended the episode. Good job, Samson.
Thanks, but you did most of the work.
So Magpie, you've just had this memory and you guys have just seen Magpie start crying while smiling.
Oh, wow. Ilsen, do you have this?
Probably not in the way you mean, but maybe we should take a break from discussing our past and maybe talk about what happens next. Ezra, you mentioned that we should probably work together to help us all out of our various predicaments.
Yes, and Ezra will very awkwardly pat Magpie on top of the head, like, twice.
Magpie looks very confused at why she's getting patted.
You're crying, Magpie.
Since when?
10 awkward seconds ago.
That really shouldn't happen.
So you're okay?
Yes, nothing's wrong with me. Something wrong with you. You look different.
Because she's clean. I took a bath. Not to brag. Have you guys ever had a bath?
Yes.
Frequently. How frequent do you wash yourself?
You know there's public bathhouses, right?
Yes, me. Lace Most Wanted. I'm going to a public bathhouse.
That's fair.
Now I'm just picturing Esri going into a public bathhouse, but just wearing just her mask.
And she sits down and the water just rises like 3 inches.
Yeah. And not even like along the edges in the bathhouses. Like she just sits down in the very center of whatever pool of water there is. Yeah.
I think I, like, Alex the person is now more confused on how long Esri's been like the most wanted.
Over a year? And before that she was in a workhouse. Before that she was a petty criminal. So
imagine the stink we've just been with.
She splashes.
I don't think much of the Warren smells good, generally, so.
But Esri has gotten quite crusty over the last several weeks.
Esri's been known to wet a rag on a stick.
Yes, wet rag on a stick. Can't beat it.
So anyway, is there a plan moving forward, or are we just keeping our heads down and not doing anything?
I need to keep my head down for a little while longer. I need those papers.
All right.
But we'll see what Emery says tomorrow.
And I suppose that's just you going to that meeting?
Yes. I don't think friends would be welcome.
All right. Heads down, then.
Heads down. Tits up.
Oh, I was going to say butts, but tits work, too.
Yeah.
That sounds very uncomfortable.
Not if you're flexible.
No, that still sounds uncomfortable. For long periods of time.
No, you see, and she's going to start trying to explain it with, like, diagrams and, like, hand gestures. Like, how it's not that uncomfortable.
Ilsen just does it, like, limbo, bridge pose, just like, it's like this, you can't just walk around like this.
You can, it's easy. And she does it too, and it's like, they're both, like, in the bridge pose, and she's just like, look, you just do it like this. And she's, like, reverse crab walking everywhere.
Ilsen's doing the same thing. Esri, is this comfortable or not?
Esri, you just look over and you see these two master thieves. doing silly bridge pose walks.
Ezri, look at us. Ezri.
I see you. I see you both.
This is totally comfortable.
I believe you. Are you comfortable, Ilsen?
I mean, I'm not uncomfortable, but I'm not. This isn't the way I want to be.
Then
my head's getting a little fuzzy.
Why are you? Why are you both?
To prove a point.
Yes, but I've already proven. It's not that bad.
I've proven it as well. You are wrong.
No, I said it's not that bad.
There's a faint murmur from the room that Neva is sleeping in, but you can't make out the words. You just hear...
All right, well, if the plan is to keep our heads down, I'm going to go do just that. Oh, I need to go check in with the caller. Fuck.
Do you still have a job? I mean, someone was murdered.
I should hope so. I think I'm the only living reporter.
The only living reporter. Damn.
I believe I am the caller's only employee right now, so I should have a job.
Well, maybe they just shut down because the only good one died.
All right, now you're being mean. And then Ilsen's going to stand back up and then kick Magpie over a bridge.
Remember a couple episodes ago where we started off and I was talking about Ilsen could probably really use some support.
What?
I supported her through that bridge.
I should take a nap.
Okay, so Ezri's taking a nap. What is Magpie doing?
I guess she'll go... No, she just got out of a nap. I guess she'll go and... Go outside and see if anyone's followed them.
Okay. So, are you trying to not be seen when you come out to check, or are you just going out there?
I guess not be seen, because that's what she was told to do.
So, I'll need an 18 stealth check.
Jesus! Does danger sense apply?
In this case, yeah.
That makes it a 15. And, ooh, she's trained in sneaking. I forgot that.
Okay, so it's a 12?
Okay, I got a 17.
Okay, you are part of the shadows as you slip out to take a look.
Sweet.
Now, you'll give me a perception roll. There are two possible targets. One is 18, and one is 24.
We already agreed on danger sense.
Yes.
Because it is danger. So it brings it down to 21. Is it in? It's intellect, isn't it? Yeah. So I'm going to spend a level of effort.
Okay, brings it down to a 15.
So we're aiming for a 15. I got a 19.
Okay.
Nice.
You do not see... any of your original shadows, what would you propose as a minor effect?
I think a minor effect is she becomes more familiar with the area.
Yeah, I mean, we could say that's just around the hotel. You've kind of scouted out the location. You've already kind of mapped out in your head what the, from a thief's perspective, what the best entry points and exit points are.
I think that's a good one. I'm getting better at choosing these.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Learning.
Ilsen.
Ilsen is... gonna put on a new face and then just casually walk out.
Okay. You walk out. You don't see anybody on the streets.
And then she is going to make her way up the lifts to tier 3.
Okay. I don't think you run into any problems with it. It's a, you know, considering that it's nighttime, you know, the lifts are a little bit busier than usual, but not like, oh God, where's everyone going? It's just sort of maybe people's commutes shifted later for some reason.
Interesting. At some point on the lifts with the crowd kind of giving her cover, she's gonna change her face back to Ilsen and enter tier 3 as just casual Ilsen. And then you said it's nighttime?
Yeah.
Then I think she's going to head home.
Okay.
And call it a night.
You head home and call it a night. What is Magpie doing since these other two jokers are sleeping?
I think she's going to go sleep because we used some bulls I forgot about. Oops.
Yeah. Okay. Magpie.
No.
You dream.
Is it a wet one?
It's dry as fuck.
Damn. Get that dry spell real hard.
In your dream, you are standing at a dinner table in a very large, extravagant dining room. In your arms is, again, a stack of books. This dining room has two doors coming into it. One of them seems to be leading to a room with the lights on. The other one is open to a dark room.
She's going to look at the books in her hands.
Okay. So you do find in your arms, their names are really just totally banal, but they're a couple other economics textbooks, essentially. And then a small, clearly old and well-worn book that says How the Magpies Got Them, a study of humans interacting with abhumans. And on the front cover, it does have a sort of naturalist illustration of a magpie, which are just like you would expect from the name, you know, us as people, that these magpies are something like Murden, where they're the crow people or something like that. Mm-hmm. But the magpies aren't. They are definitely feathered, but their faces are very fleshy with really thick lips so they can twist them to make different sounds, relatively large mouths. And of course, whenever you see the mouth, they're a carnivore's mouth. They're all canine and pokey. And it's next to what it's presumably the drawing is trying to show scale. So it's got a drawing of a nondescript human standing next to it at about 3/4 its size.
I think she's going to slowly approach the lit room, but not like bust in there, but kind of walk up and see what's in there.
Okay. So you walk up to the lit room and you can see what looks to be a parlor of some sort. It's not entirely obvious, like, when you first glance, but as soon as you get that first glance, your mind immediately goes parlor, as if it's a recognizable spot, somewhere where you've been before, even though you don't really have a direct recollection of it. And in that room, you see the adult that you saw in your previous dream with a child, except he's sitting in a corner of the room with his head bowed down with his hands over his eyes.
Can she hear anything?
He's got that sound to his breath that indicates like he's had a lot of mucus flowing. So it's almost like a rattle through his nose.
Like that weird heaving you do after you have a good cry.
Yeah.
Magpie's going to slowly walk away. Try and go to that other room.
Okay. Okay. So you slowly walk away and you look at that dark room. It's unlit. You can vaguely see the outline of some furniture.
What kind of furniture?
So you see something that looks like it might be like a settee, and there are some wooden chairs as well. And as you're looking, I guess, do you go in or are you just looking through the, trying to peer through the dark?
Right now, peer through the dark.
Okay, give me a perception roll of 9.
11.
Okay. You can see just around the corner, sticking out just into view, is the feet of somebody on the ground.
Just gonna go investigate.
Okay. So you go into the room. Do you try to turn any lights on or light up anything?
No.
Okay. So you go around into the room and you can see that there is a body lying on the floor.
What kind of body?
So as you get a little bit closer, you could see it's definitely a young man, probably in his early 20s. And there is essentially like a letter opener that has been jammed into his ear.
Gross. Does this body look related to that little kid she also has visions of?
You're not sure in this moment. Your mind doesn't necessarily connect the two directly. But you do hear a voice behind you, a rather gruff voice, not one you recognize. Someone's looking where she shouldn't. And then the dream fades.
Biscuits.
Ezri.
Oh, shit. Ezri sleeps peacefully without dreaming. The end.
Ezri has best sleep ever.
Yeah, Ezri, I mean, you wake up in this, you know, rented apartment. Apparently, your friends have left. They're all gone.
Ezri just sits up because that's how far her legs are sticking off this bed. Mm-hmm. She just sits up with her feet on the floor and she peeks out of her room to see if Neva's up and about.
You don't see Neva moving around and you don't hear him.
Ezri will crack the door to his room open and peek inside.
Room looks empty.
Oh, shit. No. Ezri will pull out her tattoo gun and look in the mirror. The mirror.
So you look in the mirror and it indicates that roughly 2 meters away from you is where Neva is.
2 meters?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, in the bathroom?
Nope. 2 meters away, so roughly somewhere on the bed that's in that room.
But she doesn't see him. Mm-hmm. Ezri will pull out her sledge and slam it on the bed. No, she'll take the stick end and poke at the bed.
The bed responds bedily.
She looks underneath.
You look underneath, and you do see a shape that you think is Neva. As you come down to look underneath, the body twitches and you hear like bones breaking as the limbs start rearranging themselves into more of like a splayed position, but unnaturally splayed. Like parts of the torso is being moved out of place so that it can extend the limbs.
Ezri's going to reach right under there and pull whatever the fuck that is out.
Okay. You reach right under there to pull whatever the fuck is out, and then you pull out what appears to be a dead body. It's cold to the touch. Their throat is slit, but there's no blood flowing. It's like they had already been bled before they were put there. And you look into Tibu's face.
No!
And then the neck starts cracking again, and the head lifts up, this torn face, and her eyes flick open, and they are, again, you can't see eyes anymore. They're just filled with maggots.
Gross.
And her mouth opens, and in this weird, like, dual voice, because her throat is slit, so the sound is coming half through her mouth and half out through her throat.
Ugh.
They're coming for you. They're gonna dig and dig till they find you. They're coming for you. They're gonna dig and dig until they find you. Ezri, we know your name. And then the dream fades.
The fuck? Peaceful sleep, Daniel.
Ilsen, you have an amazing night of sleep.
Yes.
Score one for Ilsen. She deserves it, honestly.
It was all that bridge position.
Honestly, it couldn't have been that good because I only rolled a 2 on my recovery die, so.
That's like twice in a row your rest has really screwed you on the recovery.
Yeah, I'm still in single digits in all my pools because I can't fucking roll high enough.
Holy shit.
So if your guys' intent is to sleep all through the night, and yes, given everything you guys have been through.
Yes, please.
I will allow you guys to reset your pools to full.
Yeah. Oh, thank God, because my recovery rolls weren't that great either, to be honest.
Oh my God.
Ezri was going to have a real hard time thinking. I mean, more of a hard time.
Thank you so much.
It's not like I was, you know, worried it would negatively impact where I want to go.
What? Oh,
wow,
shit.
Wow, a free heal. I wonder what that means.
Save point.
It's so cool. We're almost at the end of the dungeon, and he's giving us free heals. This has got to be great.
Save points and refill. What?
Checkpoint? What does that mean?
What do you mean this is the other half of the key we've been looking for?
I'm going to roll die to decide how I'm going to do this.
Oh, no.
Ilsen, you wake up first.
All right. Checks to see if there are any ghouls standing over her as she wakes up.
Nope. You seem to be alone in your little apartment.
And she's going to go about her morning and head to work. Today, she is a completely normal, law-abiding citizen.
No one believes that.
So did you grab your coffee and eclair then?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, hey, the guy at the food stand says, haven't seen you for a few days. I was worried that you had moved on.
I could never move on from this. No, I had a couple of hectic days with work, so happy to have this back.
Okay, sounds good. Enjoy your holiday.
I will. What the fuck holiday is it?
Well, Ilsen, since you're not from here, give me an intellect roll of 6.
Yeah, all right. God damn it, 2.
I would say, tell me it's a 1, and there's a banner that says, like, happy whatever holiday it is, like
happy
on a
President's Day
somewhere. Yeah. Just miss it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're not sure.
All right, well, Ilsen is going to the caller, keeping an eye out for any hints along the way about what fucking holiday it is.
Well, so if you're going to do that, you can roll again, but you need to roll with effort.
Yeah, and I just... Oh, yeah. All right, I'll put a level of effort into it. Was this a 9? I rolled a 9.
Okay. Today is Liberation Day.
Ah, fuck.
The Corpus holiday that commemorates the liberation of the peaks. Corpus's version of what Margothy calls the War of Woes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Liberation Day, most people get days off, their day off kind of day? Or is it more of a, like a...
Federal holiday.
Happy Liberation Day, go to work, yeah.
A lot of people get the day off.
Not reporters, though. Newspapers still gotta come out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody gets time off, but then that sort of explains why people might have been out and about later last night than you're used to seeing.
Right, right, yeah. All right, what's the general celebration? Is it just day off? Is there a large dinner? What's the tradition of the holiday?
It's commemorating a victory, like a show of strength for the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
So while a lot of people have the days off, people typically aren't going to do like larger meals. There might be people who get together to, like friends might get together to try to prepare meals together. And certainly there's got to be rich people on the surface city that are having whatever, like either stay boring celebrations and probably a few of them doing Eyes Wide Shut stuff.
Sure, of course. So kind of a Memorial Day equivalent, roughly, for
Americans. Think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can't have a public holiday without an orgy.
Or like a Columbus Day equivalent.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's a good comparison.
I don't get Columbus Day off, so I won't.
Yeah. Not many people do anymore, which is good, because it's a terrible holiday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's heading to the collar and mentally preparing for whatever is happening over there.
So you get to the collar, and you arrive just in time to see some of the city guardians, the cops, cutting Bertram down from the walls.
He was up there all fucking night, all day?
Yep.
Oh my god. Is she able to enter the building?
Sure. It definitely smells bad out here, though, because Bertram was disemboweled here, and this is where all of his stuff was spilling out.
Gross. Yeah, all right. She goes in, shows her reporter credentials to any city guardian that might look at her funny.
Okay. Yeah, they pass you through.
All right.
They don't question the coworker?
At least not yet. You come up the stairs, and you see that Mopstall's office is currently open, and there's nobody else in here.
She'll peek into Mop's office.
Mop is currently, she's got a small glass in front of her and a bottle of brown liquor, and she's just repeatedly pouring herself shots and drinking them. Ilson?
Hey, Mop. I want to ask how you are. I want to check in, but that seems like a very stupid question.
She kind of pauses for a moment with the little glass almost up to her lips. She's like, yep. And she takes another shot.
Do you know what happened?
No. I mean, the sash is a dead giveaway that it's Riskers, but I have no idea. Do you know what he was working on?
Not really. A few snide comments, but nothing.
Well, whatever it was, he got in too deep.
Do you think he was working with the Riskers, or do you think he just delved too deep into whatever story he was working on?
He doesn't strike me as that kind of person. I'm a pretty good judge of character, and he doesn't strike me as somebody who'd be involved in that thing. I could see him using them as a source, but working for them? No.
Okay. Maybe there's another angle. Mopstool, her uncle is nobleman of some sort, right?
Right.
Maybe there's another angle. Maybe, do you think this is something to do with you and your family?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know why they would attack. I mean, if they were going after me or my family, they wouldn't go after my reporters. Not unless we were printing something they didn't like, but
I mean, maybe they are testing the limits. Seeing how much closer they can get.
Can you give me a lies and trickery? Specialized in that.
Correct.
So that makes it a 6.
Roll a 15.
Okay. Mop seems to consider it. Yeah, maybe. Can't think of anything on me that they'd be after.
I would think they would want to go after your uncle or...
I'll ask family security. See what they say.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing them, they're going to start requiring background checks on everybody that we come close to.
Well, don't know what else there is to do. Should you be here? Should you really be alone?
How else is the paper going to get out?
I know we're struggling to stay above water here, but given what happened, I think it's okay to maybe take a day or two off.
Work helps. I don't like thinking about, don't get me wrong, Bertram could be a prick sometimes, but I don't like thinking of anything like this happening to him. Cops said that it looked like a lot of the damage to him was done pre-mortem while he was still alive.
Oh, so does that mean he was in an accident or was tortured?
Right now I'm fearing the worst.
I see.
This is an awfully big display for the Briskers.
To do it on the collar feels like it's a statement to us. So, because if it was personal just to Bertram, they would have just put him anywhere. Or not even shown a body, just thrown them off the cliff or something.
Yeah. It's fucked up. It's fucked up. I have to go through what I have of Bertram's notes to try to figure out, you know, what kinds of things he might have been working on. Given that it's Briskers, though, I'm pretty sure, unless they go any farther towards, you know, my family or something like that, I don't think the cops are going to look any deeper into it.
In that case, Nate, I get working is going to help, but take whatever you can and work somewhere else. Work on the surface city, because I don't get the sense that the collar is safe here.
This place is my dream. It's the safest place in the world for me, but
comfortable is not safe.
All right. Point taken. Anyway, she takes another drink. Have you got any stories to turn in?
I don't think Ilson ever handed in a story for the dog, so show.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's going to finish that up and then hand that in.
Okay. So you hand that in, and what's your take on it? Like, how you write it out?
I think there's going to be a few back and forths with Mop on this one, because I think at first Stilson is going to just very matter-of-factly report what happened. There's a question of how to paint the Emperor's decision on bringing back the Imperial Games with that. So There's probably some massaging that eventually I think is the Caller a liberal newspaper, or is it kind of...
You still do puff pieces is the thing. It's less about its political leaning and more that it's the independent upstart.
Okay, then I think maybe how about we eventually kind of settle on it being like a bit more sensational, not really like kind of politically neutral, more like, oh, what a shock, what a surprise. Is this an opportunity for anybody to make money?
Yeah, because over the course of this, like, because things have been crazy for you for a few days.
Yeah.
Because one of the things she points out when she's going over the reviews is she looks back a day to the Lathe Weekly, And they have a cover story about Tython Pet announces the return of the Imperial Games. Citizens excited for the new economic opportunities of competing in the games.
I see. Yeah.
With a quote from Tython Pet saying, "We are proud to bring back a long-standing sacred tradition of Corpus, something that enables people of any class, of any tier, to compete in the games and win their fortunes. These things are even more important for us as we deal with foreign incursions."
How do these fuckers always get quotes like this? How do they do this?
You mean their job?
Wow.
I can't prove it, but the impression I get is that sometimes the Imperium and the Senate will essentially ship them press releases in advance of events. Or shortly after. Part of how they can churn it out so fast, too. Most of it's already written for them when it's something like this.
Well, that's convenient. Any chance we can get in on that?
We need to pull better numbers.
I see. All right, speaking of numbers, do you want me to continue with this finger story? I think the next one was to talk to some workers at the dock about something that went missing, I guess, a week ago now?
Oh, yeah, the weapon supply.
The weapon supply, right? But then, past few days, there have been a few kind of very violent murders, not like Bertram, something else.
What murders?
It's been sporadic. No one's really talking about it, but there have been a few bodies, even on the surface city, of just heads being torn off.
Wow, that's interesting. I hadn't heard anything about that. It's not even in the Lathe Weekly either, and they usually have anything surface city related there.
Yeah, no one's talking about it. As you say, I only know about it because I saw one, a guard on the surface city, which is probably why no one's talking about it.
You saw the dead body?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then a few contacts around the tiers say they found another one, a similar MO.
That's a story worth chasing.
Don't we look into that or the weapons?
Well, you can look into that. I also think that, you know, who knows, maybe it's all related. There was that terrorist attack on one of the trains, too.
Wasn't it an attack?
Well, people are saying all sorts of things. I mean, the Imperial House is saying that a war criminal is behind it. Probably heard of them. Ezri Stonebiter or something like that. Anyway, some sort of war criminal with a team attacked one of the Screamers and apparently stole something carrying important military supplies.
Do we know what the supplies are?
Presumably weaponry. They're being very cagey about that from everything I've seen. I'm mostly gathering this from the Lathe Weekly and what I'm hearing through some of my contacts. Not a lot of details yet, just that this Ezri Stone person is involved, and a lot of dead soldiers. And of course, you know, any attack on the Screamers is going to draw the attention of the Transit Guild, so It really seems like anybody involved is, there's going to be almost every faction of the government hunting for those individuals. They'll tear them apart.
Yeah, that makes sense. Ezri Stonebreaker, I believe.
That's the one, yes.
Yeah, Senator Fellows has been trying to get her for over a year now, I think.
Yeah, that's been a big deal.
Yeah.
Do you know anything, by the way, and I realize there's so many things at once, but it was occurring to me as I was taking the lifts down today. Do you know anything about this woman? There was the other woman who assaulted the Transit Guild. They've been handing out flyers about that attack for a week or so.
Any pertinent details?
It was an assault on one of the transit buildings. Apparently caused some sabotage or something like that.
Sabotage? Wow.
Yeah. I think I have one of them. They've been passing it out, and She digs around her desk and she pulls out, and it is one of those little wanted pamphlets from the Transit Guild that has a pretty decent likeness of Magpie, and as well as a likeness of the face that you had face-shaped into at that time, in like the first two episodes.
Ilsen furrows her brow so that she doesn't make another face.
Are you like Vigilante? Like, if I keep changing my facial expression, he won't be able to recognize me.
More, she's furrowing her brow so she doesn't accidentally roll her eyes. Mm-hmm. No, I haven't heard anything about this. I have seen these pamphlets, but no name, only a face.
Only face. But, you know, the thing is, and obviously it's not Ezri Stonebreaker, and I haven't heard anything about any of the other people that were on the train, but I'm just thinking two attacks on the Transit Guild might be a connection.
Might be, yeah. I'm also wondering, the stuff happening with the Transit Guild, the train heist, and then this Margothy stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot happening right now. It's almost distracting.
What do you mean distracting?
Like, it feels like a lot of stuff is happening that is naturally causing everybody to look at either the Transit Guild or the Empire and the Imperial Games or to Margothy. It almost feels like we're supposed to be looking everywhere else except someplace. I don't know. I don't have any solid evidence. It's just a hunch. Feels like there's something else happening that we're not supposed to be seeing. Because all of this is happening within like the last week or two. That's insane.
A corner off her lips twitches up and she says, "Now you're sounding paranoid, Ilsen."
Should that not be?
I don't know. It's worth looking into. Do you have any idea where you would start looking?
Unfortunately, the only person who could could cause all this razzle-dazzle as a distraction is the Emperor. I don't even know how to start with that. And even if I did find something, is that even something we could publish?
You'd have to be really careful.
Maybe go talk to your uncle, ask some questions, see if he knows anything.
Yeah, I mean, I can ask him about it.
Just a thought, but yeah, I'll look into these murders that are happening around the city.
Yeah, good luck picking the first one to work on.
Yeah, we'll see.
Did you see Bertram this weekend at all?
No, I did. I saw him right after the dog show. I'd come back here to regroup, and he was being snotty. I told him off, and then I left.
Huh, okay. I was just curious.
Can I insight?
Yeah.
Roll an insight on her.
It'll be a 12.
I'm going to put one level of effort into that, bring it to a 9. Yeah, 7.
Yeah, you're not sure. I mean, she's probably drank a lot at this point, so.
Yeah, she's really holding her own right now.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Silsen is going to go about her day.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, have some pep root. Just, you know.
Oh, I'm ready to go with that. And she holds up a little packet wrapped in foil, and you can see it's like 10 pep root sticks, and that's a lot. Usually a pep root stick for most people is like they'll have like one, maybe two in a day. Should at least get me through the afternoon.
All right. Water. Also drink water, right. You know?
Mm-hmm. Sure thing, Ilsen. I'll look into those other things.
All right. Stay safe.
You too. And, Ilsen, just be a little careful. Right now, the people are really freaked out and revved up. Just be careful, because there might be idiots who would mistake your accent and do something dangerous or stupid.
I am very aware of the situation. And of course I'm going to play it safe. I'm your star reporter now. And Ilsen kind of...
You hear her voice from behind you. By default.
Still counts.
Ezri.
Yo.
You wake up.
Damn it.
For realsies this time.
Now she will for realsies look for Neva.
He's in the other room, and you come in there. Give me a perception roll of 6.
All right, she's trained. 16.
Okay, as you start moving towards the door, you hear like a quick flurry of movement. And then as you open the door, you see Neva in the middle of the room doing a push-up. And he's like, 99. Okay, I think that's good for now.
No, show me 99 more.
Oh, no. I don't want to get too big.
Why don't you show me the first 98?
Then you need to wake up earlier.
Wow, these beds, right?
Really nice. Really nice. Yeah, I could get used to living in a place like this.
Way better than a prison bed or a workhouse bed.
Oh, yeah. Better than a ship bed, too.
Please explain ship bed.
Ship bed? A bed that's on a boat?
Oh, ship.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. I know you're into...
I haven't done a shit bed since, well, at least 10 years.
Well, I think next step is we got to get some food.
Yeah. Yeah. Food, food, food.
All right. So what are you thinking? Noodles? Street meat?
I could be down for noodles. They're supposed to have good noodles on this tier somewhere. I think it's on the west side, somewhere over there on this tier. They're supposed to have a really great noodle cart.
Let's find it. Ezri will put on her mask and grab her gear and go to get noodles with Neva. Noodles with Neva. Spinoff.
Yeah, you start heading out the door and you notice that Neva isn't following you.
Neva?
No answer.
Ezri will turn back around.
Neva's just standing there.
You all right, bud?
Of course I'm all right, Ezri.
What is wrong with you?
Nothing.
Why are you talking like that?
It's something in my throat.
Open up.
He opens up his mouth towards you.
Ezri will look inside.
You look inside. He has most of his teeth. There's like one tooth that seems to be missing on the side. Maybe it was knocked out at some point. Who knows? Maybe it was knocked out by Magpie.
What? Who would do such a thing? Oh, Magpie is innocent.
Yeah, his tonsils look there. They're not inflamed. Everything in his mouth looks normal. His breath isn't great.
Gotta brush, Neva.
I just haven't gotten to it yet. I like to wait till after my workout.
So why are you being weird? You can tell me, Neva.
I don't know how to explain it. And he pauses for a second. It's, again, his body freezes for a moment. And his head, like, tilts. They're coming for you.
Ezri will slap Neva.
Falls down on the ground, seizing.
Oh, shit.
You've killed him.
So fragile.
Like, there is a little bit of blood coming out of his nose. They're coming for you. Dig, dig, dig. And then he passes out. And that's where we'll end this episode.
What?
Who's coming for God. Ezri?
Phrasing. Boom.
God, what's it about?
Huh. Samson, something about this episode.
Neva has dream sight, or whatever the fuck. That's why I interpreted that as, like, Neva was, like, seeing into Ezri's mind through probably whatever connection the tattoo gun has given him. So that's crazy.
Is dream sight a skill? Is it a thing?
Nope, just a word I just made up. That he could see into your mind or dreams or whatever.
Cool. We have a segment that we do each week called Player Intrusions. That's where we offer you, the listener, an XP to check out something that we think you'd really dig. This week it is Alex's turn. Alex, what would you offer our listeners an XP to check out?
I thought about it long and hard. Hard.
Long.
And I decided to go with the YouTube channel for Caleb Hammer. And So he does financial audits on your average person that he actually meets. Not like, I did actually watch a YouTube video on, you know, financially auditing person from Sex and the City, and it was a mess. And but no, he has a YouTube channel that's all about helping people get their shit together with money. And so I've just been like obsessed with watching them. He yells at people for making bad decisions when they're in massive amounts of debt, or, you know, making fun purchases. I use funding air quotes when you're like, maybe you can't pay rent the next month. And it's kind of pushing people to get their life together and work on building an emergency fund and saving for retirement. So, you know, you don't have to die on the retail floor when you're
retirement.
Old. I know. We're all just imagining that Amazon truck taking us out, but sometimes dreams don't come true.
Alex, so, we're doing a podcast.
It's a really fun, eye-opening time where you just kind of, I'm using it as an opportunity to like reflect on my spending behavior and where I can improve upon myself, because I would like to do some more traveling on my vacation time rather than what I do now. And it's called, I sit at home and stare at a wall.
It's called a staycation, Alex. It's a thing. I read about it in the newspaper.
But I'm also work from home. So it's basically just being in the office 24/7. I would like to leave the office behind and not have the option of entering it during my vacation.
Fair.
And to do that, I'm working on, you know, my fiscal responsibility. So if you are interested in getting some ideas on budgeting and maybe reflecting upon your own fun habits. Watch some Caleb Hammer financial audits. One of his recent guests was Amaranth.
The streamer?
Yeah.
Cool.
So that was kind of fun.
Okay. Caleb Hammer.
I know. It sounds like a porn name. It's not.
It did come off initially like maybe it was like a different form of Findom.
I think he did interview a Findom. I mean, that's an acceptable way to make money.
Well, if people wanted to tell us what they think about Findoms or the podcast, how would they do that, Samson?
They can always, always find us on our social medias and talk about Findoms. Findoms. Yes. On our socials. You'll find our socials at explorerswanted.fm. On Mastodon, we are at explorerswanted@dice.camp. Blue Sky, we are at explorerswanted.fm. On Instagram and Facebook, we are at explorerswantedpodcast. But the best place to talk to us about Findoms is our Discord. explorerswanted.fm/discord will take you there. Also, if it is within your means and you're feeling generous, patreon.com/explorerswanted is the best place to support us. And please use our dice affiliate code with Die Hard Dice. Explorers Wanted at checkout, get 10% off your order.
That's called being a pay pig in that world.
When you get Findomed?
Yeah, you're a pay pig for your like financial dom.
I just keep thinking of Findom, like dolphin dom.
I mean, I'm sure dolphins would love that too, to let them dominate you.
Gross.
I'm sure there's some dolphins into that. Holes,
am I right?
And if you can't financially support us, we totally understand. You don't have to be our pay pigs.
We get it.
Honestly, the best thing that you could do for us is to tell your friends, tell them what you like about the show and why they should listen to it. Second best thing that you could do is leave us a 5-star written review on a podcast directory like Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. That really helps people find the show. And if you didn't like the show, or if you just thought it was meh, well, we're going down the mountain now, all of us and our crones. Our lives are so much better now. The only chill is in your bones. We're walking down the street now, our hands full of bloodied sparrows. We're knocking on your door right now, and we'll feast upon your marrow. If you want to reach out to us individually on social media, you can. You can find me on Mastodon as Daniel at Anderlik, ANDRLIK.org.
You can find me on our Discord. I'm Stace Windu.
The rhyming made it a little too real. I don't know why. I'm at Slam Potato on most places. Twitter, Blue Sky, Mastodon, at Dice.camp.
I'm just sitting here going, could we ride the pay pigs down the mountain? I think that's another kind of dom. I'm Tea with the Unicorn at Instagram, Threads, and Twitch.
All right, that's it for us. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week as we will for every week in the foreseeable future. Have a good night, day, weekend, or whenever you're listening to this. And bye.
Bye. Bye.